Let's look at Song of Songs chapter 4, verse 12 to 14. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Your plans are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, fragrant henna with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, the streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. As we study Song of Songs, we could begin to understand the heart of God. Many Christians are pursuing selfishly, wanting to be filled by the Spirit, wanting to become a spiritual person. And even though he may attend all the conferences, but he doesn't know the ultimate purpose. But in Song of Songs, God gives us a clear picture of the purpose of pursuing God. What are we truly seeking? What are we truly wanting? You may spend all your efforts in vain at the end, because the things that you're seeking is trash to God, has no values, and you've wasted your life. You've wasted so much time. So we really have to understand, what does God want? Song of Songs give us a clear picture of what God really is after. What is he treasuring? And verse 12 says, my sister, my spouse, is a garden enclosed, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. What is this garden enclosed? And you could see plants. There are plants with many fruit trees, many types of flowers, plants. There are myrrh, alloys, and all chief spices. And in this garden, not only it has many different plants and myrrhs and spices, but it's a well of living water. The water is from Lebanon. And you see that the evolution of this spouse, this bride, at the beginning she's speaking of God as his fountain. God has his living streams. But here, suddenly it changed that this bride becomes this living water, this garden enclosed for God. And it's speaking that when the bride is matured, the bride can actually quench the thirst of God. It speaks of God's desires being met by the bride. God actually needs us. If you take hold of all the opportunities to seek God, there will be a point in your life that you would understand that God actually is pursuing you. Many of you have this experience. One brother, when he was studying in school in a university in Taiwan, he took hold of all the chances to pursue God. He was saved the third year of the university, and then he began to seek God more and more, becoming more and more hungry. And he looked around and he saw many people are being filled by the Spirit, but he felt that he was left alone. Then he went back to, during the summertime, he went back home and told his parents that he will study and he will work at the same time, but the rest of the time he would spend in pursuing God. And during the summer, every day he challenged himself to read 100 chapters of the Bible. He spent much time drawing near to God. And at nighttime, he would kneel before his bed and spend an hour plus time telling Jesus that he wants him. He wants God's presence. After a while, he got filled by the Spirit. And he continued to live soberly before God. And God continued to cultivate that hunger inside of him. And when he turned the fourth year in his college, he had three wishes. He wished that he doesn't have to leave this church, and also he doesn't want to be too busy, and he wants to spend more time with the Lord. And the third wish is that he wants to be single all his life for God. And after he done his military service and his his parents wanted him, kept pushing him to go out of state, and so he sought the Lord, and the Lord confirmed it, and he felt like, how come the Lord doesn't listen to his prayers? He wanted to stay in the same church, and then he asked, so he came to me for prayer, and I said the same thing. The Lord is really calling you to a different country. And so grudgingly, he decided to go out, even though knowing that most of his wishes have not been heard by the Lord. And once he left Taiwan, and he was in a bad mood, and he was just angry at God and complaining to God. And so there was a season when he first came to America, he would just spend time watching sitcoms, television shows to learn his English. And at the main time, he wanted to show God that he was frustrated, so he didn't even bother to pray. But it was interesting that there was about a month time that the Lord continually to draw him within. No matter what he's doing, the spirit inside of him continued to speak to him. Till a point, suddenly his heart melted. He realized, actually, God is pursuing him. And one time, a few brothers that were sharing this testimony, and then I told the brothers, please don't follow the example of this brother and be angry at God and take a vacation from pursuing God. Because this brother, his testimony is very unique and specific. He already developed a deep relationship with the Lord. And so when he showed his frustration, God continued to pursue him. And because some of you, if you follow his example, when you stop praying, when you stop reading the word, you might lose everything. And the Lord really had mercy on this brother. He know that this brother has a bad temper, even though he has bad temper, but he still had that hunger and desire for the Lord. And it's in the same way, the bride from Song of Songs, at the beginning, he's pursuing God, but later on, she realized it was God who's pursuing her. God desires her. God needs her. And what does God praise her for? God praised her for the becoming an enclosed garden. But what's the opposite of a garden enclosed? It's a national park. An enclosed garden is a private garden that's heavenly guarded. And the opposite is a general park or a national park. There are some flowers, there are some plants, there are some giftings. However, but people can enter in any time. And people can even throw trash in the park. I would say most of the Christians are this national park. There are only a few Christians that are garden enclosed. Many Christians have a great curiosity. When they heard some gossip, oh, this sister, this brother, they're doing this and that, and then they want to hear more, and then suddenly their hearts are filled with gossip. They're almost like CIA, filled with these intelligent information of others' gossips. And when they try to wait on the Lord, then their minds are filled with the negativity of other people. Their minds are filled with these gossips. There's no benefits in that. I realize some people love to hear these gossip. The Bible says that the lips that carry gossips will enter deeply into the human heart, because that's human tendency. We love to hear people's sins and people's shortcomings, but these are trash, and these trash will only produce toxicity in your heart. But this bride is a garden enclosed. No one can enter into the garden, only reserved for God, reserved for the King. The master alone can enter in. The bride belongs to the Lord, belongs to the King, to the bridegroom. And she's enclosed for the Lord. A fountain sealed. It's a fountain, but it's sealed. And you know, this spring shut up, or this well shut up, is talking about a well of peace so deeply immersed in the peace of God. Just like Madame Guyon said, "There is a deepest peace inside of my heart, and this peace saturated my whole being. Besides the Lord, I have no other hopes. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. All my faith, all my trust is in the Lord. And my heart with the Lord's heart is entwined together. I have no will or desires. All I want is God's will." This is a spring shut up. It is very deep. It is very, very peaceful. This bride is filled with tranquility, and they won't be shaken by winds here and there. They're governed by the peace of God. A person who practices inner life has this trait, is this peace. And this is the purpose of the gospel. God says, when you are called, God called you to the peace of God. Therefore, it's very important, first of all, whatever happens to you, whatever circumstances come to you, you want to keep and preserve this peace so that Christ may rule in your heart. If you want to become this spring shut up, whatever comes your way, you want to stand your ground and begin to thank Him. "Lord, I praise you. I thank you." Open your lips and praise Him. Let His peace rule in your heart. Don't let any problem situations grab your heart and steal the peace. This is devil's agenda. He wants to steal our peace through all kinds of different trickery. So this is something we must practice to become a fountain sealed. There's so many opportunities for us to practice that. Even just one phone call could ruin that peace. But when you continue to praise God and just say, "Lord, I thank you. I praise you for your peace. Jesus, I thank you. Hallelujah." And you continue to do that, you are cultivating that peace. And a fountain seal is talking about a fountain, a living water flowing inside of you. It's important to learn to shut up, to sealed, to enclosed, to not go in and out all the time. Recently, I have many phone calls from sisters that had husbands with an affair. And one time, this sister called me. She said, "It has been a period of time, a couple of years, that her husband has an affair. And there is a deep ache within her heart. But that prompted her to seek the Lord. And she thought, maybe I sought the Lord for a while now. And she's doing pretty well spiritually." And she was happy. And suddenly her husband decided to return to her. But after a short while, the husband wanted to go out to the other woman that he had an affair with. And this sister got angry. And she got angry. She got mad. And she told her husband, "Stop going in and out. If you like that woman, just take all your belongings and move out. I don't even want to see you anymore." And her husband left her. And then this sister was heartbroken, and she called me. And she was so stirred by her husband. And then I told the sister, "You know, God's trying to tell you that perhaps you are like your husband. Your affection towards the Lord, many times it's like you're going in and you're going out. You want God. You pursued God. But the purpose of it is that you wanted your husband to come back. You prayed and you prayed. You pursued and pursued. Your ultimate goal is to see your husband return. And when your circumstances got better, then you got happy a little bit. But when your husband left, then you got disappointed. And then you failed into your flesh." I told the sister, "Stop using the flesh to face the situation. The only way out is for you to hide yourself in God. Whenever you come out from the hiding place, the secret place, then you lose." I told her that the eyes of the Lord is upon you. The Lord really hopes that your heart will be completely His. But when there are difficulties, then you left the Lord. But when there are difficulties, you pursue the Lord. But when your husband left you, then you got angry. The natural love of mankind it will only result in hurt and pain. And the sister replied me, thank you so much, Pastor Grace. I've never heard of that. I never thought of that. And I realized that I'm just like my husband. My affection towards the Lord goes in and out. And then she quickly repented before the Lord and returned to the Lord. Many Christians are with the same attitude. When difficulties come, they will pray, they will fast. When the pressure is relieved, when the circumstances is removed, then the Christians will leave God. This is the unfortunate state of many spiritual lives. It goes up and down. It is so important that we must practice in our daily lives to be this garden enclosed. Just tell him that God is the most important thing. Only you are supposed to possess my heart. Many times I see Christians, they pursue the Lord and as though their spiritual life are doing pretty well. But all of a sudden, when their boss gave them some promotions and then they got busy with the work, and I realized their roots are not deep enough. Their practices is not solid enough. In that case, the enemy can also access your heart. You become a target for the enemy to attack. The enemy is like a lion seeking those he can devour. Those who do not enclose their hearts are the objects of the enemy's attack. One time this brother gave this testimony. When he woke up in the morning, he thought of many people that he wanted to care for. And at the same time, he's busy with his work. And in his heart, there are many ambitions and dreams. And in his spirits, he's filled with burdens to serve the Lord. And his mind was filled all kinds of emotions, issues, and problems. But the first thing he woke up, he was striving to push out these thoughts so that he could stand before the Lord. But he was pressured. He was bombarded with all these thoughts. And suddenly he cried out to the Lord, Jesus, I just want you. I only want you. And all of a sudden he remembered, and someone told him, if you're not filled by the Spirit in the morning, then it will be so hard for you to walk before God this whole day. And so he prayed, I only have a few minutes left, but Lord, I only want you. I desire you. But when the time is up, he has to go to work. And then he went to his workplace, and then he finished some tasks. And then it's lunchtime. Then he went back to the Lord again. And he made a decision. He wants to press into the presence of God. Even there are times that you don't feel his presence. You don't feel the sweetness of his nearness. But you still make a decision to continue to draw near to God. And every time he seeks to draw near to God, he was bombarded by so many burdens and so many pressures. The Lord told him, only desire God. Love me above all else. Only think about Christ. And so he strived to obey this voice. No, he pushed away every other thought. And then until he created this space for the Lord, just the Lord and him. And suddenly he felt was like heaven in his heart. It was so beautiful and enjoyable. And suddenly he realized the Lord truly is desiring him. And when I came to this place, I said, Lord, what do you desire? What do you want me to do? The Lord says, just continue to love me. And then after a few minutes, I asked the Lord again. The Lord replied, love me. Stop running. Stop trying to do things. Just love me. And all of a sudden, as I gaze upon the Lord, I realized one thing, which is this. The greatest gift is the gift of hunger. And the greatest ministry is to love God, to pour out our affection upon Jesus and allow the Lord to enjoy us. And I realize when we feel restful, when we can taste the sweetness of this romance with you. You enjoy our love, and you just so you just so enjoy this moment that you wish that we can freeze the time, that we can enjoy each other's presence. And you just so desire that this revelation of love can be displayed for the world. And this is the greatest gift, the greatest joy, is loving God. And God priced this above all else. God wants us to not being so rushed and busy, but to enjoy the joy of enjoying each other and enjoy the rest that we can share with each other. And after he got this revelation, and it's almost like honeymoon within him, his heart, and everything becomes crystal clear. Everything becomes so light, so joyous, burdenless. And he was just enjoying the sunlight, the air that he was breathing, as though he could feel the warmth of the sunlight passing through the leaves and filling the ground, reflecting by the snow. He could see the glistening of the reflection of these leaves, as though they were telling the wonderful kindness and mercies of God. And I see the beauty of God. My mind was completely focused on the greatness of a salvation. And he prayed, "Oh Lord, how blessed am I that I can enjoy the greatness of your salvation. When I am so wicked in my core, you are just like the sunlight shining down in my soul, healing my diseases, warming the coldness of my soul." And he says, "Lord, let me enjoy your mercies forever." And this testimony really reminded me that we have many brothers that also are in the marketplace. And the first thing when we wake up in the morning, when you are bombarded by so many tasks in your family, in your workplace, however, if you make a decision to go deep within, to love him alone, and let that be the first thing on your mind, to practice seeking God. And while you're driving to the office, even when you get to the office, if there are moments of rest, seek to aim to pursue the Lord. Then you'll begin to taste the joy, the sweetness of the enclosed garden. And all these anxiety and pressures will slip your mind, and these burdens will slip off your back. This is not only a feeling. This is God himself. When his presence filling you, it's like heaven being revealed inside of you. And you'll realize when you face the problems and the situations in your work, and the Lord will give you supernatural help. And if we don't practice that in our workplaces, then you'll realize many people who will get sick because of the pressure of the work will increase and increase. Mental health problem will increase. Devil knows his time is short. The devil will give all kinds of pressure to break people's back. Insomnia will increase throughout the land. Digestive problem will increase as well. However, God has given you the greatest remedy, that is to go back, go inwardly within you. You have an enclosed garden inside. Jesus is there. Pay attention in your daily life to guard your heart from all kinds of trash. Whatever that's not important to you. Unless when you hear these negativity, you turn it to intercession. If you're not praying, if you don't have the burden to pray, if you're just only curious, wanting to hear more, then you should consider it as trash. And if we don't practice this often, then many times after the meeting, you'll realize you went back to your pressured state again, and it will become a cycle of negativity. And you could spend decades of pursuing God. They could be fasting. They could attend to many conferences. But if they don't have a deep root of cultivating that peace, cultivating the enclosed garden, then you'll see when difficulties arises, they could be just like the people of the world.
there will be no difference of this Christian than people of the world. We want to pay attention to spend time alone with God. There was a saying, if the people does not like to be alone, then let's not talk about any type of success, whether in science or in literature. And because people who write things, authors, they need spiritual inspiration to have inspirations in his alone time, like in a garden or in when he spends time with the nature. I remember, for instance, my mentor, he is a writer and editor. And at the time, he was conducting a play for a gospel event for the church. I remember that he would go to the mountains in a cabin by himself for 1 to 2 weeks by himself, just writing, because he needs that quiet and alone time to write the play. The scientist is the same way. Scientists can never party all the time and talk or being busy with social lives. They need to discover things that are hidden, and they need much alone time. If the person don't have alone time, then they can go nowhere, whether in the field of science or the field of literature. And in the same way, the same principle applies to our spiritual life. If we don't spend much time with the Lord alone, then don't expect for spiritual growth. You'll never get spiritual growth by laying on of hands. You could have spiritual gifts, but what are the benefits? You don't have that living fountain inside of you or a beautiful enclosed garden within. You will never be satisfied. You want to be a garden that are filled with fruit, and only when you abide in him, you will reap that result. You have to draw near to the source of all things. Spiritual growth does not come by attending conferences or attending meetings or laying on of hands. That's impossible. Yesterday, there was a brother who discussed something with me. He asked me this question. Some told him, you must go to this church to receive spiritual gift. And you go to this church, you will develop intimacy with the Lord. And then you go to that church, then you will learn about Bible knowledge. And I said, well, that's not the teachings of the Bible. The Bible only says, abide in me. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. Whatever you ask for, I will do it. The branch's only job is to abide in the branch, abide in the tree, abide in the vine. The root must go deep. The connection must be strong. And there was a study done. The taller the tree goes, the root system is just as tall as well underneath the ground. And the root is founded deeply underneath the ground. You can't see it. It's hidden. It's in the dark. You can't even see any results, any fruits, any sunlight. But the roots just go down deeper and deeper. And however deep the roots will go deep, that's however tall the tree will grow. Then after the root was developed, then the fruits will come. But some people, they can't wait for the root to go deep. And so the fruits they have is not, their fruit will be small and sour. People who seek the great speakers to lay hands on them, and when you spend time with them, you realize their attitudes are sour. When you serve with them, you realize they have anger issues, and you realize they're really competitive. They have a competitive spirit, and their words are so sharp, and they hurt people. So you know that they have some fruit, but their fruits are sour. They can't quench people's thirsts. They can't nourish people's desires. And I told this brother, and suddenly the brother had this revelation, and he said, oh, yes, yes, yes. I actually have a plant at home that was planted within a vessel. And this plant grows so tall. But all of a sudden, this plant died. Suddenly, he understood my analogy. The development of the root will take a long time. And the time of waiting and developing the root system is not a pleasant time. But this bride here in Song of Songs bear fruit, are the best fruit with pleasant fruits. My sister told me that a sister have peaches. And at the beginning of the development of these peaches, as being the good farmer, she has to take out the first batches of small peaches, only allowing the tree to bear a few fruits so that they can concentrate its power in just a few fruits. But when you're greedy and you want it to bear much fruit beyond your capability and not sacrifice the first few small fruits, then when all the fruits grow up, all the fruits will be small and less nutritious. Many times that's the work of the father, that the father will come in and take down the branches and the fruits that are small. When Watchman Nee was 25, he wrote many psalms, and then he gave it and he showed it to his mentor. And he was so proud, like, "Whoa, look at the songs that I made." And his mentor says, the mentor told Watchman Nee, "Why don't you throw those new songs into the trash can? Or else one day you'll be really ashamed of these songs." What if your minister told you that? You probably will change to a different church. And this is the hard work of Watchman Nee. And the mentor didn't even look at those songs and told him to throw all those songs away. This is exactly what God is doing. Can you bear the pain? You think those are fruits, but sometimes God will sacrifice them. God will take them away. Only when you allow the Lord to do this work, then you will bear the most precious fruits. To be able to bear good fruits, the tree must undergo the trimming process. And when you trim out all the branches, all you see is a few branches. The tree looks ugly, naked. And then you have to wait for a long time for the branches to grow back. You have no leaves, no pride, no glory. Take out all the thin branches, leaving only the thick branches. But only then you'll bear more fruits. The process is very painful. But if you want to bear pleasant fruits and treacherous fruits, then you have to undergo this process. You have to accept sometimes years of God's process. The development of root system, many times you won't see any beauty. Many times you won't receive any praise. And then you will compare to other people. You see other people having gifts, being praised by men, and they have a glorious ministry. And all you see is that you're so quiet, you're no one noticing you, and you're just being trimmed by the Father. But let me ask you, do you want to be a national park or an enclosed garden? National park is very popular. Oh, you'll hear people laughing, people singing. But an enclosed garden is so quiet. Sometimes it might seem sad, lonely, and waiting on the Lord, it's like that. When you wait on the Lord alone, you're spending time in solitude. You think about spending time with people, and you have laughters. But when you're alone with the Lord, you seem lonely. And you could see this principle that God is speaking to us through nature, the principle of life through the nature. We want to understand these things. To become an enclosed garden, it's like this. When you buy a land, if you want to turn this land into a enclosed garden, the first thing you want to do is to establish fences. And then you want to break the ground. And then you want to sow the seed. And then you want to water it. There are much work required. Many times it takes years that you will see any results. In the same way, it'll take years for our spiritual lives to be developed into a garden enclosed. If this is your goal, you have to see that it requires much time. You must spend time, much time before the Lord. You must give the Lord permission to break the ground of your heart. And I know that many times in our meetings, God is doing this work. He's breaking the hardened heart, the callous heart. And people are weeping in the meetings because they're melted by the love of God. I had this experience as well. When we went through much disappointment, our hearts will become hardened. But that's a dangerous state. But God would do his work by softening the heart. My friend told me when he went to a farmland, someone gave them a farmland. And when he saw the other farmers, whatever they sow, they reap an abundant crop. Whatever they sow, they reap an abundant harvest. And so he asked them the secret of planting these plants. And they told him, first of all, you got to soften the ground. And this takes the most effort. And when you're softening the ground, you're digging deeper and deeper. And then you have to water and water the ground. And then you have to install the irrigation system deep in the ground as well. The work, the preparation will take a long, long time so that after everything's prepared, whatever you sow will grow. So brothers and sisters, understand this. The work of preparation, developing that root systems will take the longest time. Stop rushing and hurrying to bear fruit. Stop desiring what can be seen by naked eyes. We want to solidify the deep root system within so that we can go farther and higher. That is true spiritual life. This kind of pursuit, even though you might not see people screaming, shaking, but you know that God is doing a deep, deep work within. It's something that you can't see with the presence of God. This is the workings of the Holy Spirit. In stillness, His power is working within you. People can't see what's going on inside of you. However, inside of you is abundant. You have the living spring. You have birds and the beautiful fragrances and all kinds of fruit trees. That's why the Bible says, who can comprehend a spiritual man? But the spiritual man can understand all things. On the outward surface, you can't tell. That's why Paul says, stop judging people outwardly. An enclosed garden, the depths of his heart is not comprehended by men. His heart is solely reserved for the king to enjoy. Are you willing to be this type of garden? Are you willing to let go of the tendency of showing off and telling people to see what God's doing in your heart? Our tendency is when we see little bit of fruits, we try to show off to your friends. But you want God to develop these things deeper and let these fruits grow bigger. Let the Lord enjoy you first. And the songs we just sang says that to dwell within the veil, dwell in the secret place of the Lord. I don't know how you feel about the song. The melody line isn't very popular, but the lyrics are deep. The more you sing it, the more you will taste the sweetness. And when I first went to Church of Zion, there are many, many, many songs are really deep. And my mentor, Sister Pearl Young, she loved these hymns, these old hymns that are unpopular at the time. And these are some songs she sang a lot. And number 112 is a song, is one of her favorites. And also number 17, the song says that Jesus, our Savior, is the light of the world. The fountain of life is the foundation of love. When I first sang those songs, I felt so dry. It doesn't touch my heart. And I thought to myself, why does Sister Pearl Young like this song? But when the Lord worked deeply inside of me, and the longer I pursue the Lord, and All of a sudden, I begin to sing this song in my private pursuit of the Lord. And this song became my prayers. May dear saints enjoy this blessedness. And I pray that many of our brothers and sisters will receive this blessed grace to dwell in the secret place. They would desire and enjoy the sweetness to be alone with God. And just like the testimony we shared earlier about this brother in the marketplace, and he says, oh, I long to enjoy the honeymoon with the Lord. And the honeymoon of the natural, we have brothers and sisters who fought in the first day of their honeymoon, but the honeymoon with the Lord is different. Everyone can taste the sweetness. It's behind the veil. The Lord is playing the strings of my heart. And every line of the songs are experienceable by all of us. It's like God tuning the strings of our heart. It's the greatness of joy that relieved my heart completely. I dwell behind the veil as that secret place is the anchor of my soul. That anchor of my soul is cast into the depths of the presence of God. When you dwell deeply in the presence of God, that you can overcome any waves and winds tossed by the circumstances of the world. And you are not frightened or moved by anything outwardly. That sweetness with the Lord trumps all outward things. And the resurrection power of God is governing within my heart. How does faith birth in such a person? That does not come by faking it. Recently, a sister shared this testimony. He believed the Lord for 16 years. She attended all kinds of great meetings. She listened to renowned preachers. And she'd been prayed for, laid hands on by many powerful preachers. But she has no faith to overcome sickness. Many times, there was one time that she wanted to change a job, and she didn't have health insurance for that period of time. And she was so nervous because of that month, what if she gets sick? But praise the Lord, when she started to pursue the Lord here, and she was experiencing a swollen liver. She can feel the pain every day, but she began to trust the Lord. And then we prayed for her. Within 1 week, she got completely healed. And after I heard that testimony, I understood this. Many times we rely on people's prayers outwardly. Our eyes are focused on great preachers. And when difficult circumstances come, we can withstand those waves. And these preachers only comes for 5 to 6 days, and then they go to different cities. Are we following them forever? No, we don't understand. We have the greatest one dwelling in us. It's Yahweh, the God of Almighty, filled with power. Every meeting in here is designed for you to know the Lord within you. You can draw out the power of God within you. There's this doctor. She shared this testimony. When one time she was so sick, and through this scripture that God's light shone in him, and which is, God who dwells within you is full of power. And suddenly she understood. God who dwells inside of me is powerful. His life is my life. His health is my health. I shouldn't be this weak. And then he started to draw God's health and God's life. Since then, through many years, she became stronger and stronger. God healed all her diseases. And she began to dwell in divine health. And she gave this testimony when she was 70. And she said that, I'm 70 years old right now. The strength that I need, the health that I need, the wisdom that I need are twice as other people. And I am healthier, stronger, mightier than when I was 30 years. Inside of me, there is a geyser gushing forth the power of God. There's this living stream springing forth inside of my soul. Brothers and sisters, this is not only the pattern of Church of Zion. Everyone can receive this. What's important is that, are you willing to spend time with the Lord? I really hope that many of our brothers and sisters, I really hope that brothers and sisters within our meetings, sometimes you feel the presence of God. You can close your eyes and just soak in the presence of God. And within His presence in worship, let the Lord wash over you. And whatever lyrics the worship team are singing, just turn that into a deep inward communion with the Lord. And I also encourage you to spend much time to be alone with the Lord. If a person only loves to social with people, only loves to joke around with people, or talk about gossips and things that don't matter, then it's really hard to become that enclosed garden. And especially when you just started out, and talk about my own experience. And because we are very accustomed to what's going on in the outer man, what's going on outside. And in my own experience, God shut up all my friendship outwardly. I used all my strength, all my time to pursue, to return inwardly to the Lord. And I don't have time to call people. I don't have time to social with people that time. Suddenly, it's like the Lord just cut off all the outward connections, and I'm just focusing on the Lord. And then I remember that during that summer conference, I didn't desire to be with people. I just want to be alone and use all my strength to draw near to the Lord. And one time, one of my friends says, "Oh, look at Pastor Grace. She never smiles." And because I was serious pursuing God. But if you don't really make this an aim and goal and be serious about seeking God, then it's really hard for you to come to that state. You just remember that land that you just bought, you need to cultivate it. You need to soften the land. You need to do much work so that this land can become an enclosed garden. It's a constant battle, a constant work to soften the ground, to fertilize the ground, to water the ground, to weed out the weed. At the beginning, there are much work that you need to do, and then put up the fences. You need to let people know that you're spending time to pursue God, or else people will continue to bombard you. Sometimes you have to overdo it. And some mom, you would think, "Oh, my children are so young. How could I do this?" And I want to share this testimony of this mom who has 12 kids. People ask them, "How could you take these 12 kids? How could you nurture these 12 kids?" And her answer is, "Because every morning I wake up to draw near to God. Because I'm so busy, so I wake up even earlier to draw near to God, to receive the strength that requires. And the greater the pressure, the greater the busyness, the greater the stress outwardly, the more we need to press into God." I want to encourage you to practice. At the beginning, you might not be used to this lifestyle. It might be difficult, because it is different. But after a season, a while, then I guarantee you'll begin to taste the sweetness of His presence within you. And a few days ago, I heard another testimony that this person doesn't want to leave the meeting because the presence of God was there. And these type of meetings cannot be replaced by listening to a sermon. The reason why you're here is not to listen to a sermon. You're here to encounter God. You're here to capture God and bring Him back and continue to develop that enclosed garden, that sealed fountain, so that this fountain will grow inside. I encourage all to practice, all to have dates with the Lord, daily dates. And then after you practice the while, you will learn to quickly come into that presence of God. And God will begin to work from within you to outside. And then you will begin to bear fruits. It will come naturally. And the deeper you go within, the more abundantly, the more pleasant the fruits will grow. And let's not rush this process. Let's take it slow. Just like Paul had said, we're not focusing on the things which can see, because what is seeing is temporal, but what is unseen will last forever. And God is doing that invisible work within us that will last forever. So may the Lord continue to help us to desire to have solitude with the Lord. You'll realize the abundant spiritual life, the pleasant spiritual life within your inner man. And this 70-year-old mom in Taiwan, many times she would tell me after a meeting, "I so enjoy being with Jesus alone." And she always described his inward life like inside is a garden. You don't find that commonly in elderly people, but she so enjoys solitude to be with the Lord. It's like heaven inside of her heart. And that fruit will last forever. Amen.